Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rhonda Fanning, great producer of this program, joining me in our Milwaukee studios, and we are in our Wisconsin Public Radio winter membership drive. We rely on you, listeners, to pay for all of the programs that you enjoy here on the Ideas Network, and we're asking you to take action by becoming a contributor to Wisconsin Public Radio. In just a moment, we will continue to debate this highly contentious issue of the budget. But right now, we need to ask you for your gift to help support the programs that you rely on. Please make yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Kathleen. Last hour, the goal was 60 pledges, and we heard from 44 listeners, 28 of them new. But this hour, we have a goal of 55 pledges. So please help us meet that goal right now by making your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your gift will ensure that the programs that you enjoy here each and every day, Kathleen Dunn, Ben Marins, Joy Cardine, continue from this day forward. So contribute now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
From this day forward.
That's
where
right.
did that come from?
That's
true. From this day forward. We had, and to show you the hard work of our producers, we had a last-minute cancellation of one of our guests, and so they're scrambling this morning in addition to a pledge drive to find another guest. In just a moment, we will be speaking with the mayor of Madison, and we will also be speaking with the department head of Waukesha's Department of Administration about the budget, of course. There are some communities saying we're going to be okay with this budget. There are others saying this is devastating, and the state is sort of dividing along those lines as well. So we'll hear more information. I know that you're hungry for it, and you're hungry to have a chance to give us your opinions, which we welcome. Discussions like this on the Ideas Network are possible only because of your financial support. Please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this hour, rather than receiving a book or a CD as a thank you gift, you can do something extra special. And I love this idea. If you give $120 or more and select the Food for 40 as a thank you gift, WPR will pass on what we normally spend on that book or CD as a thank you gift, but we'll give it to a Wisconsin food bank in your area. So that's Food for 40 when you pledge $120 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So you can not only feel good, you can feel really good when you make a pledge this hour. You hear substantial topics on this network, as you well know. We know that you want more than a headline. We've been doing really in-depth coverage for weeks now of the ramifications of the budget. We go in-depth with the issues, with hour-long conversations, with our extraordinary news coverage, with the addresses that we present to you. So please make your donation in support of these kinds of conversations at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And giving couldn't be any easier. It just takes about 3 minutes of your time. You're going to tell us your name, your contact information, and how much you want to give and how you would like to pay. Using your credit card saves time, postage, and paper, and puts your money to work right away. Or you can consider signing up for an EFT, an electronic funds transfer from your bank account. Now, that saves even more time, postage, and paper. But no matter how you choose to give, it's important that you choose to give. So please pledge now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Our goal is 55 callers for this hour. We need to get a couple of you to start rolling with the hour, please. Please give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And just a comment from you, because you've been producing for this program in an extraordinary fashion for a long time. We haven't seen we see a lot of enthusiasm for issues, but the number of people who really are counting, I think, on Wisconsin Public Radio the last 3 weeks
has been amazing, hasn't it? I've been meeting people from all over the state, getting in touch with mayors and county officials. It's been wonderful in that aspect, and just hearing from listeners from everywhere on Facebook and through email and through the phone. So this many days straight in a row on this topic, it's such an important time in our state.
It is. Thank you, Rhonda, for all of your work. Rhonda Fanning, one of our extraordinary producers here for the program that you hear from 9 to 11. All right, it's back to the budget in Wisconsin. We'll continue to cover this $3.6 billion budget deficit. We've been getting so many different perspectives the last 3 weeks. We'll have the mayor of Madison with us, the first part of our program. And later on this hour, the department head of Waukesha's Department of Administration will join us. Madison Mayor Dave Cheslevich is joining us now, and our on-air phone number, our lines have been jammed on these issues, is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Mayor Cheslevich, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me on, Kathleen.
We keep getting, you know, what's extraordinary to me is that we are talking with people from some cities and some municipalities saying they are going to face budget cuts that are just absolutely overwhelming. And others say that the governor has given them the, quote, tools to make things okay. Why do we have such wildly different perspectives from people who head local government?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how wildly different they are. There may be a few folks who actually support the governor's plan, but I signed a letter last week with now over 400 local
Is it 400 now?
Officials, all over the state who say, look, we don't want this tool, Governor. Collective bargaining works. It's worked for 40 years to bring labor peace to our state. We can work with our unions. We understand we're going to be part of the solution in solving the state's budget deficit, but let us do that locally. Let us work cooperatively with the folks who work for our local governments. And we can solve this. Don't force us to end 40 years of labor peace. That's been the overwhelming sentiment coming from local officials in this state.
One thing that is troubling to me is that it's amazing how divisive, and you've said it's the most divisive budget that we've ever seen. This has so divided the state of Wisconsin. I don't know how people are going to get back together to collectively work on problems now.
Well, look, I mean, Wisconsinites are resilient, and we will find a way to get through this. But, you know, the governor, I think, is pretending to have a mandate he just doesn't have. Governor Walker got elected because people were frustrated with the economy, and I understand that. It was the unemployment rate is too high in the state. The recession was hanging on too long. And the vote in November was a vote of frustration over all of that. And I get it. I understand it. But he didn't have a mandate to end collective bargaining. As a matter of fact, we have poll results now that show overwhelmingly people support our public employee unions. 2-1, they don't want Walker to end collective bargaining. He didn't have that as a mandate. He didn't have a mandate to slash support for public education. He's cutting school aids by something close to $900 million. There's strong support for public education in our state. He doesn't have a mandate for that. There's support for public transit in our state. He's cutting aids for transit, and yet he's increasing the road building budget by $400 million. If he can find money for roads, why can't he find money for alternative transportation? We have an incredibly successful and popular recycling program in the state. City of Madison just set a record. Two-thirds of all of the waste stream is diverted from landfills because of our successful recycling program. The governor would gut and eliminate the successful recycling program, and on and on and on. The governor does not have a mandate to do these things. These are very un-Wisconsin values.
And yet he's got the governor's office. He's got the assembly there with him. I'm sure he thinks he does have a mandate, and elections have consequences, as people say, right?
Elections have consequences, but you know the definition of democracy is majority rule with minority rights. There has to be a minority voice. You know, when I got elected mayor of Madison, I won with 51% of the vote back in 2003. And the first thing I did was reach out to the folks who didn't support me, because you have to govern the entire community. And I think Governor Walker needs to learn that lesson. Yeah, he won, but he won with 52% of the vote. There were almost one in two people who did not vote for him. And once you're elected governor of the state, you have to govern the entire state. That means you have to reach out to folks who didn't necessarily support you in the last election and govern with an eye towards representing everyone. And he's not doing that. He's governing from a position of a far, far hard right ideological point of view. And that is not Wisconsin. That does not represent Wisconsin values.
Let's talk a bit about this education budget. You talked about $900 million from public schools, which is a huge amount. Coupled with that is a very substantial change in the way we have schools in this country. There would be an elimination of the income cap on voucher schools. It sounds to me like it's a movement toward getting more and more private schools, and taxpayer money would go for those schools. That's a substantial change, it seems to me, in the way we educate our children.
That's right. I mean, this is a full frontal assault on public education. I mean, one of the fundamentals of democracy is an educated electorate. And the way we get to that is to have a top-notch public school system. We're very proud of our public schools here in Madison, and I'm sure communities are all over the state. And what governor, if you take all of his proposed policies together, you can't see it as anything but a full frontal assault on the quality of public education in our state. And again, that runs very counter to Wisconsin values, to Wisconsin history. Fundamental to everything is a high-quality, free public education. And these proposals go right at the core of that.
We welcome phone calls, and we're going to start taking them right away because our lines are absolutely filled. The mayor of Madison is with us, the first part of our program, talking about the governor's budget, Mayor Dave Cheslevich, and let's go to Bob from Stevens Point. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hi, go right ahead.
Some months ago, it was reported that the top government worker in Madison was a bus driver making over $100,000 a year. Every city is crying about buses. Add to that the fact that the governor turned down federal and state or federal money for a train that would have benefited Madison. How, looking back on all that, do I feel obligated to support Walker? And I'll hang up.
Thanks, Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. That train didn't just benefit Madison. That was $810 million in federal investment in our state. Those are your federal tax dollars that are now not being invested in Wisconsin, but being invested in California and Illinois and Florida and places like that. That program would have created 5,000 construction jobs right off the bat, and probably twice as many jobs when you go down the production line. Those are jobs that are badly needed. In some construction trades here in Madison, 1 out of 3 workers is currently unemployed. Those are jobs that were badly needed, good family-supporting jobs, and Governor Walker just gave them away to other states. Not only that, but Telgo, a Spanish company that was going to build trains in the Milwaukee area, again, a place where jobs were badly needed, has now said that they're going to pull out of the state. And why wouldn't they when the governor has basically dissed their product? That was and Governor Walker accomplished this before he even took office. He turned down 5,000 to 10,000 jobs, $800 million a year tax money going someplace else. And unfortunately, that has set the tone for what he's done ever since.
Let's go next to Cassandra from Madison. Hi, Cassandra.
Hi, Kathleen. I just had a question and a comment. My first question was just about the new policy that I've heard about recycling in Madison. My second my comment actually is that my mother is a professional educator in Beloit, Wisconsin, and she has recently informed me that Wisconsin rates second in our ACT scores, but we rate 38th in as far as paying our teachers. And for me, Scott Walker just says that he doesn't want to invest in our future, and our teachers are already getting paid a minimal amount of money for what they accomplish, and I just think this is horrendous. But I would like to hear about both the comments about the new recycling bill and also about our ACT scores here.
All right. Thanks, Cassandra.
Sure. Well, first to recycling. Wisconsin has had an enormously successful recycling program in our state. It's a recycling mandate for local communities, but then it comes with the state aid program to help us pay for it. That's been in place for 20 years. Tommy Thompson actually signed the bill to create that program back in 1990. Here in Madison, the results of it have been fantastic. We just announced a few weeks ago that 66% of the waste stream in Madison is diverted from landfills. And that's not just good for the environment, it's good for the bottom line. It costs us about $143 per ton to landfill waste. It costs us about $93 per ton to recycle it. So this is good for the bottom line for taxpayers, and it's good for the environment, obviously. And yet, nonsensically, the governor, in his budget, would eliminate the program altogether, eliminate the recycling mandate for local communities, and eliminate the funding for it. For Madison, that would mean about a $1.1 million cut for our recycling program. So it really makes very little sense, and we're hopeful we can work with the legislature to restore it. As regards teachers, that's absolutely right. We get tremendous benefit from our teachers. Our teachers are a great investment for our state. You're absolutely right. We score very well on national test scores. Here in Madison, we actually lead the nation in national merit scholars. And one of the strengths of the Madison public school system is the fact that our teachers are so very good. This is a very competitive school district to get into. And so teachers will go to other communities, get some experience, come here to Madison. And it's one of the reasons that we're so successful. We also got a great school of public education here in our state. This issue of public education is fundamental. It's what Wisconsin is about. And the governor says that he wants to create 250,000 jobs. Well, you know, I didn't realize when he said that all of them were going to be at Ian's Pizza. If you want to invest in economic development, you invest in public education, and the governor is disinvesting in public education.
How many people has Ian's had to add to their staff? Is it a
well,
lot?
It's been quite 250,000, but you know, they are one business that's doing extraordinarily well, and I congratulate
them.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah. Little did they know. More phone calls in a moment. The mayor of Madison is our guest. The first part of our program, we'll hear a completely different perspective with the department head of Waukesha's Department of Administration. The second part of this program, and we continue to welcome your phone calls. We're in a pledge drive as well, so if you want to go to WPR.org while you're listening and pledge your support to these hours, we would like that very much. We have had six pledges, three new people, three new members. Thanks very much. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest this hour is the mayor of Madison, Dave Cheslevich, and we're welcoming phone calls to Dan in Three Lakes next. Hi, Dan.
Good morning. I'm just calling to mention that in last Sunday's Milwaukee Journal, there was an article that showed in a graph how we have here in Wisconsin 29,026 people who make and file income taxes on more than $260,000 per year, including some that file income taxes, 322 that file income taxes on up to $4 million a year, and how a 1.5% surtax, one-time surtax, on these people would pay off the entire shortfall in one fell swoop. You know, I think someplace I read, from those to whom much has been given, much should be expected.
I have heard that before. Mayor Dave.
Well, I couldn't agree more. You know, this is largely a manufactured budget crisis. Sure, the state does have budget challenges. These aren't necessarily all that much different than ones that we've dealt with in the past. And when you compare us to other states, actually, they pale in comparison. And there are more equitable ways of handling it. I don't think there's public support for dealing with the state's budget issue, of course. But I don't think there is public support for gutting public employee unions, turning back 40 years of labor peace, gutting public education, destroying the recycling program, spending hundreds of millions of dollars on roads while we dramatically decrease spending on public transit. That is not Wisconsin, and I don't think that there is a public mandate for any of that. And I think what people would like to see is a real honest discussion about what the alternatives are. And there are progressive alternatives here that would solve this budget issue and do it in an equitable way and continue to support our kids in public education, continue to invest in our environment, and continue to invest in alternative forms of transportation and things that will move the state forward. You know, something we haven't talked about is our reliance on foreign sources of energy. The governor would also, not in the budget bill but in other ways, go at wind energy farms. Well, look, I mean, if he's concerned about our long-term sustainable economic recovery, you don't do that by reducing our ability to produce our own energy. In so many ways, the policies that this governor is proposing are just heading in exactly the opposite direction of what he says he wants. If he wants to create 250,000 jobs, this is not the way to do it.
But Mayor Dave, I don't know how you're going to get people around that table because the 14 Democrats are out of the state. If they return, the budget repair bill will pass immediately. How in the world are you ever going to have that discussion?
Well, look, I think that what's been going on in Mass, and I have to say I've never been more proud of my city. In the last 2 weeks, we have had full-throated discussions, lots of passion, lots of noise, and approximately two arrests. Over 500,000 people have come through downtown Madison, and yet people have conducted themselves with civility. They've conducted themselves peacefully. I was frankly appalled that the governor suggested that he even considered hiring people to come in and disrupt those peaceful protests. And that's something that I hope the press will stay after. We have to get answers to that. You know, what exactly did the governor consider? Who suggested it? How long did they consider it? Did they take any action? And when he rejected it, why on earth did he reject it on political grounds as opposed to moral and legal grounds? But getting back to your question, I think we need to concentrate on the state Senate. I think that there are reasonable, moderate Republican state senators who don't want this to go on, who don't frankly like the governor's proposals, and they've got to understand they are a separate branch of government. They didn't get elected to represent Scott Walker. They got elected to represent their own constituents, many of whom are teachers and firefighters and police officers and people who plow the snow. And they've got to sit down with them, listen to them, and then come up with a compromise. And I think one is out there. Look, the public employee unions have already said they're going to accept the increased
yes.
contributions to health insurance and pensions. That solves the governor's budget problem. His budget is balanced as of today. If he would just back down on destroying public employee unions, he could balance his current year budget right now.
And what do you know about negotiations with Republican senators who may be willing to consider voting against the governor? Are they in process? Do you think that's a likelihood?
Well, I think you're starting to see some movement. And if our Democratic senators can hold out a while longer, I'm at least modestly hopeful that we might see some more movement. Look, all these events have had a national impact. Republican governors like Scott Walker around the country have looked at this experience and decided to back off on going this way. Scott down in Florida, for example, Christie in New Jersey, Michigan, they've all been watching Scott Walker's experience, and instead of diving in and trying to do the same thing in their own state, they decided to back off. And so this has already started to have a good effect around the country. Now let's see if it can have a good effect here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think? Do we need a pledge drive for the state? Should we do kind of this It's a Wonderful Life thing, and we can put up little buckets in various places, and people can bring their money, and we'll see how much money could
well,
be raised?
I've been listening to you guys, and you've been extraordinarily successful in your pledge. And by the way, I owe you a pledge.
Okay, we'll hold you to that, sir.
and I'll make good on it. But, I've been listening to this, and I've been thinking, you would think in Madison especially, where there are so many public employees that they're looking at their futures and maybe they'd be cutting back, but they're not. You're doing extraordinarily well on your pledge drive. We found here at the City of Madison, we were bracing for people to start reducing their monthly contributions to United Way and community shares and things like that. It's not happening.
Hmm.
People are responding in exactly the opposite way. They see Scott Walker attacking these things, these values we have, and people are responding not by cutting back themselves, but by saying we actually want to do more and go in the opposite direction. I've been very heartened, by the way, Madisonians and Wisconsinites have responded to all this.
Thank you, Mayor Dave, very much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. The mayor of Madison, Dave Cheslevich, our guest. This first part of the program, we're going to hear another perspective from Norm Cummings momentarily, department head of Waukesha's Department of Administration. And, of course, we're welcoming more of your many phone calls. We have one line open. Take it, 800-486-8255. 8655 is our number. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Rhonda Fanning joining me here in our downtown Milwaukee studios. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. And more than ever, you rely on Wisconsin Public Radio and the Ideas Network for intelligent discussions. And more than ever, we rely on the money that you give to keep that talk on the air. Your gift today of $60 or $120 or really any amount will keep this important forum for discussion on the air in the months to come. From this day forward, as Rhonda says. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and help pay for the programs that you have come to depend on WPR. We're looking for 47 more pledges in about the next 28 minutes or so. So please make yours now. Follow, you know, Mayor Dave at WPR.org
right.
or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you found yourself thinking about something in a new way after you've heard one of our shows. I know that's the case for me every single day. It's the beauty of the Ideas Network that you hear multiple points of view. You value what you hear on this network, so please pledge your support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you like WPR because of the good it brings to your community. For you, having WPR available is personally important. And it's also important that everyone in the state has access to in-depth news. For instance, Jeff from Menasha pledged earlier this hour, and he said, with the recent budget crisis in Wisconsin, I found your coverage to be the most informative and thorough. Thank you for your continued coverage of both sides of the story. So please join Jeff and Menasha in putting a value on this type of programming that's so important to the state at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know that many of you are like Rhonda and Chrissy and me, that you can't get enough of certain stories. Well, of all stories, we read a lot. But this one, you try to find something new, and you find it here, actually. You're not going to find it on commercial radio, that's for sure. Everybody's got a strong point of view, and they're hammering it home. We're just trying to find out what is the way forward and what do people think about this, and also giving you a forum, which is so rare and so important in all of this discussion, and that's public opinion. What do you think about all of this? Our lines are open for you, so please become a member of this ongoing conversation with a contribution of any amount. You're not only doing something good for yourself, you're doing something good for the whole community. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If Wisconsin Public Radio comes on every time you start your car, that's a sign it's time to donate. Or if you hit your WPR preset button every time a commercial airs on one of the other station, that's a sign it's time to donate. This means that WPR is your main radio station and that you're glad that we're listener supported. So please do your part. Support us now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for ways to economize with our money and our time, and you can support us and become a sustaining member. If you're wondering how you do all of this, you just choose an amount that's right for you, and you have it charged monthly from your bank account or your credit card. Please give now. We're getting there. You know, we're getting there. We've had 11 pledges, and we're looking for 44 more before the end of this hour. That's our goal. WPR.org is the website, and 888-202-2552 is the number. Rhonda, thank you, as
thank you.
Always, for everything. Joining us now is Norm Cummings. He is department head of Waukesha's Department of Administration. We spent yesterday and today looking at how the budget, what it will do for communities throughout the state of Wisconsin, and we've heard very different opinions from people. We'll hear something very different from Norm than what we heard from Mayor Dave the last half hour. Norm Cummings, thank you so much for joining us. I deeply appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So you heard the budget. You've read the budget. Do you think that Waukesha is going to face some really large challenges as a result of this budget, or can you deal with it?
Well, we're still wading into it, and you know the big area for counties is going to be human service funding.
Mm.
And one of the things that we know and we've experienced in Waukesha County is that even though we can avoid maybe paying for the big cost, in order to avoid people ending up in institutions, which is the big cost, which we're required to do. We need to have other programs continue that avoid having people going to like a mental health center, et cetera. Just to give you an example, we have great programs in our human services area and mental health services. If somebody ends up in the mental health institute, these state institutions, it's about $300,000 a year for one person.
Mm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's a budget buster.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to, regardless of what our reductions are, we still need to fund these other programs. You know, it's great. It's a great social thing, but I can tell you for the taxpayer, if we don't fund the other alternative programs, we'll end up funding the much more expensive program at the institutions. For a juvenile, if they can have an alternative program to going to Ethan Allen Juvenile Home, it's $100,000 a year to fund them there, whereas other programs that are much better for them and help them rehabilitate are much more less costly. So we can't stop those. And right now, we have not had our major source for some of the mandates that we get from the state on implementing health and human services is about we've had about $10.5 million as community aids. That hasn't changed since 1996. However, if it goes down, that will be a real challenge for us here in the county.
Mm-hmm. And what is the future of Ethan Allen in the bill?
In the bill, it will eliminate Ethan Allen.
That's what I thought.
Obviously, our concern about that is not so much, we don't have that many children in Ethan Allen, but, Milwaukee and Racine and Dane.
Right.
They're going to have to transport them up to Lincoln Hills, which is in northern Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, our human services people, for the kids that we do have there, that is a long way for parents.
Families,
to visit.
Right. And those visits, of course, are pretty important. Do you feel that, have you been invited? We were talking with Mayor Dave about people getting at a table together. I know that they're dug into one side or the other, but the division in this state seems to me to portend that people need to get together in order for us to like each other, in the days and the years ahead. Do you sense that you will have a chance to talk about health and human services, that people will be brought to the table to look at this?
I think we're going to be pushed into it, but I think for another reason altogether, and that is we go our separate ways in so many areas. For example, in handling juveniles, we have our own juvenile detention center here in Waukesha County. So does Racine County, and on and on and on. We need to get together and look at dealing with issues together. And not
mm-hmm.
separately.
Right, right.
There's so many things that we could be doing with Milwaukee County and Milwaukee City.
Mm-hmm.
And I think usually when you get to these situations where, there's not enough money, that sort of forces everybody to the table to talk about how can we resolve these things together and get economies.
So are you doing that? Is the city of Milwaukee and Waukesha County and Dane County, are you all getting together?
Well, we have been over the years. Been working with the city of Milwaukee. We're trying to have a recycling program with them. We would like to. We can save together building a new facility. Waukesha County alone cannot sustain a new recycling facility. But if city of Milwaukee would join us, and maybe this will put a little leverage into it because we're all losing our recycling grant in this bill.
Right. Let's go to phone calls. We get the public involved in our discussion. Elizabeth in Hayward is next. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I think it's kind of interesting because at the outset when this gentleman came on, you said his views were going to differ from your Mayor Dave's comments, and they don't seem to.
Let me just say that we did have the mayor of Brookfield scheduled until the very last minute, and then he said he had to be in Madison. So Norm has just joined us and has a different viewpoint than the mayor of Brookfield would have had.
Okay,
so.
Well, and perhaps they'll let the mayor of Brookfield into the Capitol since he has to go there. But I just wanted to say I think people, certainly collective bargaining is huge. My husband is a teacher. And I think it's an important thing, and I don't think that teachers should lose that right or any other public employee. But I think there are larger things in that bill that we need to keep remembering, which is that Scott Walker has the power, without going through the Assembly or the Senate, to sell off all Wisconsin-owned power plants. That is a big deal, and that can affect whether then people can or entities who receive services from those if they can even afford to pay the rent. If he sells those off, whoever buys them will then have whimsically be able to set rates at whatever they want to set them at.
Is that of concern to you in Waukesha? Does that hit home?
Well, maybe I can go back to where the caller started out with. Actually, my mayor, I am a Brookfield resident, Mayor Ponto.
Yes.
We have pretty much the same view as far as having to have some changes in pension contributions and in health insurance contributions. We have been trying to get some softening of the collective bargaining laws over the years, not necessarily pulling it totally out, but that certainly will work so that we can get some contributions. And the unions have not been willing at all until this effort by the governor to even talk about it. And the health insurance, particularly of late, has been increasing at quite a big pace. The other thing that Mayor Ponto has made known that we don't think it's fair that that protective, and this is like in the case of the county, it's deputies, in the case of the city, it's firefighters and police, that they should be exempt mm-hmm. from the pension or health contributions. And the way the bill, the repair bill, is laid out, is they would be exempt and they would keep all of their collective bargaining. So that's where we are in sync, I think, on that. And we you know, with costs going up, there needs to be some movement on that. And that's what the repair bill does.
So do you think that if you were to exempt the police and firefighters and with the contributions from public employees to health and pension, are we in pretty good shape?
Well, I don't know what the bill is yet. I think it's certainly going to help. You know, the state has this huge budget hole of $3.6 million. And if I could give a, you know, sort of a comparative with back in the 80s, that's when I was working for Milwaukee County during the last big recession.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably kicked Southeast Wisconsin in the pants much worse than the current recession. That was when Alice Chalmers went out of business. That's when American Motors went out of business. Breweries like Schlitz were bought out and moved.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of companies, and it hit hard. The huge difference, though, between then and now is the state government budget was in much better shape going into the 80s recession than it is now. The budget, it's not just the prior governor, but governors before them that have really taken the budget, even in good times, out of balance. And now we're paying in a recession when you start losing income, revenues, and people aren't employed. It's much worse this time.
Thanks, Elizabeth, for your call. Don in La Crosse is next. Hi, Don.
Hello. How are you today?
All right, Don. How are you?
Oh, live and kicking.
Well, that's good. Go right ahead, sir.
I guess my question is with the governor doing what he's doing, is there any way to drop his wages down to what teachers are making now, take an average what teachers make in this state and drop the wages down what teachers are making?
You think the governor's making too much money, Norm?
Well, first of all, the state law sets the wages for the governor prior to anybody filing for election, so that's pretty much in place for the next 4 years. However, one thing that is in the governor's bill is that elected officials will now pay a large portion towards their pension. They'll actually pay 6.6% versus the general employees paying 5.8%. Elected officials would pay 6.6% of their wages towards their pension, and that's never been the case before.
You know, I read somewhere, can you confirm this for me, that wouldn't go into effect? You can't change that after you've been elected. So for the governor, that wouldn't be true until the next election, that there would have to be more of a contribution for a state senator, the same for a representative, anybody who's elected.
Well, that's going to be there's going to be varying opinions on that, but this is considered a benefit. And the governor's budget the governor's salary won't change, or elected officials won't change. They're just going to have a larger deduction.
Right, but not until they can't during this term.
No, my point. Oh, I see what
you see. What I mean?
Yeah. What the law states is you can't change their compensation. Now, if they assume that their compensation is going to stay the same, it's just they're going to get a they're going to have to pay a contribution towards their benefit, their pension benefit.
So, begs the question.
So I think there's going to be debate on that.
Right.
Which way? But yeah. I think the way we're looking at it here in Waukesha County is that we believe that this is not a change in their compensation. It's just a contribution towards their benefit, their pension benefit.
Thanks very much for the call. Let us go to John in Waukesha. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning. How are you this morning?
All right, John. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank
good.
You. My question relates to not only the Madison mayor, but also other, say, county executives or city executives. If they had effectively negotiated union deals that were not so beneficial from the standpoint of not paying into the pension and health systems, maybe we wouldn't even be at the state that we are today of having to look at collective bargaining as a whole. I just wanted to get some thoughts on that from the call, or from the guest.
Well, actually, in Waukesha County, we are in probably better shape with our collective bargaining agreements in other places, and we have been very successful. Our employees already pay 10% towards their health insurance, and they've accepted deductibles and co-pays. Where we haven't been successful is in the pension area. It's just off the table. And whenever you make a change in under our current collective bargaining laws, there has to be a quid pro quo. And if we get 1%, if we get employees to pay 1% towards their pension, and we have to give them 1% wage increase, we also have to pay Social Security and a pension contribution on that 1%. So we're paying more for that for a 1% pension contribution from our employees that are under bargaining units. They have not been willing to even discuss pension with us. And like I said, under the current collective bargaining laws, there really is no way to force that. But yes, we are in much better shape in Waukesha County with our collective bargaining. We started a few years ago with our non-represented pay 1% towards their pension. And like I said, on the health insurance side, even our bargaining units are now paying 10% towards their health insurance. And also we've been able to negotiate co-pays and deductibles in that health plan. And our health plan is probably in better shape than others across the state.
Just a final question for you. It came up in the last half hour when one of our callers suggested a 1.5% surtax on people in this state who make more than $260,000 per year. Why is that off the table? Would that help the budget? Is there something to be said for everybody paying more money?
Well, that's a little bit out of my field because we pretty much deal with property taxes here, et cetera.
Yeah, but just as a person in Wisconsin,
okay, well,
what do you think?
I can understand the governor's philosophy. He believes that the big issue now is creating jobs in the state, and he believes, and people that support it believe that that will impede creating more jobs in the state. I can tell you, back in the 80s, there were three things that were taken into account in dealing with the big deficit back in the 80s and getting through the recession. One was there was some one-time money that they used to get through it. However, that's already been done, and that's not available anymore, the one-time monies. They're all gone. The other thing was there was some tax increases, and then there was, of course, some expenditure reductions as well. So that's what was done in the 80s. The one thing that's, like I said, is the state budget is in much worse shape now than it was in the 80s going into the recession. And number two, all the one-time money has pretty much been used, and the cupboards are bare.
Okay. Thank you, Norm, very much for being with us. Our guest this part of the program, the department head of Waukesha's Department of Administration, Norm Cummings. We also thank Madison Mayor Dave Cheslevich for being with us and Thank you, everybody, for your calls. I hate to leave you on hold. We just had so many people call in. If you want to go to Facebook and leave your thoughts there, that would be fine. It's the Kathleen Dunn Show, and people have been doing that in large numbers. So if you didn't get through today, go there if you can and leave your post, and then everybody else go and read it and add your post as well. So it'll keep the discussion going on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And I'm Kathleen Dunn with Rhonda Fanning in our Milwaukee studios. We're asking you to think about how much you rely on WPR's Ideas Network for enlightening and informative and lively discussions. And we're here to remind you that WPR relies on you to keep these kinds of programs on the air. It's our winter membership drive. A gift of any amount will make a huge difference in our ability to pay for the programs you count on. Please make a gift now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. We're looking to get 31 pledges in the next 7 minutes or so. Your pledge right now helps keep this program growing strong. So please make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation with Mayor Dave and with Norm about the budget and all the conversations this week. Now we invite you to take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Put a value on the programs you enjoy every day and make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this hour, Kathleen, listeners can do two good things at once. When you make your contribution of $120 or more to Wisconsin Public Radio, that's just $10 a month, you can select food for 40 as a thank you gift. So your thank you gift will be in the form of 40 meals for those facing hunger via Wisconsin Food Bank in your local area. So please pledge any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. But at that $120 level, you can select the food for 40 as a thank you gift.
I was driving along and they started talking about being ADD. And I'm ADD. I consider it a blessing now because they had talked about a book called You Mean I'm Not Lazy, Crazy, or Stupid. It pointed out things and it made things understandable for me, so it really changed my life. I'm John Ink from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and it is my source for a clear view of the world.
I'm Kathleen Dunn with Rhonda Fanning, and we are here to ask for your support of A Clear View of the World at Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support, a big part of why this program is available to you right now. Please make your donation, and here's how you do it, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledging at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It only takes a few minutes out of your day, and in return, you're going to get back so many of these great programs that you come to rely on each and every day. If you can, please consider a donation of $1,000.
Your $1,000 contribution would, of course, make a all of your contributions do, but $1,000, if you can give that, makes a significant difference in our budget and helps us bring you talk, news, music, stories, entertainment that you count on from Wisconsin Public Radio. Your donation, of course, of any amount to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps ensure that our community and our state get the public radio that we deserve.
Chances are the Ideas Network of WPR has covered an issue close to you, whether it's education or the healthcare debate, and now with everything going on with the state budget. Relationships, alternative medicine, state issues, technology. We try to bring you the shows that you find relevant, interesting, sometimes even entertaining or enjoyable. Because WPR touches your life, please make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We're just running short of time. We have about four more minutes left, and we still need 30 more pledges to reach our goal this hour. So please, if you haven't already, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you support WPR, you're supporting the ideas the Wisconsin idea. The idea is that we bring you every day to bring the resources of the university to the entire state, and not every state has such an idea. Not every state, we hear this again and again, has such high-quality radio, and as Senator Glenn Grothman said yesterday, such erudite listeners as Wisconsin Public Radio. So please call with your pledge, 888-202-2552.
WPR is one of the great things about Wisconsin. There are many, but WPR is one of them. So please join forces with many other Wisconsinites right now and make a contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Keep your membership active. Maybe it's been a year since you pledged. Maybe it's been even a little bit longer than that. Well, don't let any more days go by. Pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We still need 29 pledges to be on track, so that would be great if we can make it.
That would be. Think of your support of WPR like you think of a newspaper or magazine subscription, something that you need to renew each year. So please, if you're already in a member, renew your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Although you may not think it sometimes, we are all in this together. We have a lot in common. We share values that bind us together. And your support is part of what makes this program possible for you and for the community and the state that you share it with. Give it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you very much, Rhonda. Thanks, everybody, for all of your pledges. We have news coming up, also a very valuable part of what we give you each morning. And then we're going to talk about a man who was one of my favorite people on earth. I'm looking forward to the next hour. I look forward to every hour. Thank you, Rhonda.